Coming up in today's pod, we review the Wigan game and look at other Challenge Cup results, along with the quarterfinal draw. Sam looks at the playoff format to see if we can predict Wyre's route to the final. Dennis is back with his tackle bags. We hear from a new boy band with a few familiar names. Callum's on board with his top five prediction. And does anything ever stick to Kevin Sinfield? This is What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Hello, I'm Rob London, back at the helm, steering the ship away into calmer waters after Dennis, during our last recording, plunged us towards the rocks. Perhaps our only beacon of hope during such high seas, shining through the mutiny, was our very own lighthouse. It's Sam Sankey. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, or rather good morning to you. Nice to see you up, dressed, clean, shaved and... Oh, no, you're not, are you?
No, it's a little bit early for me here. It's just gone 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm still in bed. So, no, it's not a good look for me. But, Sam, you've got a, you seem to have your Warrington jersey on there, and it's got a Rabbitoh on the top.
I found this in the bottom of my drawer last week, and I thought I'd wear it to the Wigan game. So, see, 2012 one-off commemorative, we played a warm-up game against the Rabbitoh's jersey.
Oh, was that the game they played here?
Yeah, that's
right. I remember reading a very interesting article in the Warrington Guardian about the match report.
I remember. I used to know the guy who wrote that.
It was me. I wrote that one. Right. Anyway, and back to where he rightfully belongs. Mending the fishing nets at the stern of the boat, deep down below decks in the lower galley. Yes, with his shackles firmly back on, it's Dennis Waywell. Hello, Dennis.
Good evening. Yeah, back in my place. The control
freak.
I feel
a bit more comfortable with you back there, I have to say.
You're a control freak.
Well, to be fair, I had to eat three packets of biscuits last week while you were doing it, and I felt a little bit sick the next day, so I'm pleased you're there. Now, you're looking sprightly there, Dennis. You've got a few things we've got to catch up on. Okay. Firstly, you went to the snooker.
Yes, went to the snooker there, did my journalistic bit, got an interview with John Virgo. Although the question asking him whether he pays attention to star signs and whether it affected his play, he didn't really take that well. But he was still a jolly guy. He's certainly still on it, put it that way.
Yeah, very much so. Last time I went was to the Mercantile Mutual. It was Doug Mountjoy versus Terry Griffiths. What a night that was. 5-4. Jesus, I think we were there for about a month.
Yeah. I went to the Mercantile Credit Classic, which was probably a couple of years later, and witnessed Tony Mio missing a very famous yellow
Green. I remember that, missing that green.
Yellow.
Yeah. They lost. They actually lost the World Championships based on that person shouting out, didn't they? Had he not shouted out, the contract was going to Warrington the following year. And in the end, it stayed at the Crucible. There you go.
I did actually go out this weekend as well, and I had an interesting conversation down the pub. It was, a guy was trying to find out how he could get a plot in the churchyard, and he went to ask the vicar, and the vicar said, he said, what do I need to do to get a plot in the yard? And the vicar just said, you need to die. I thought, not to start the podcast on a sour note, Rob, maybe you want to move it on.
Dear. And in the week we lose Freddie Starr, it's clear to point out there, Dennis will not be taking his place. Right, well, a lot's been happening. We should probably start with the news of the week, and that was the sacking of David Ferner. Leeds parted company with Ferner after he'd only been in charge of coaching Leeds for 14 Super League games. He finished with a record of 4 wins, 10 losses. Sam, do you think it was a fair sacking?
Probably yes, but bizarre really would be the word to sum it up. Leeds seem in crisis from McDermott leaving, then Sinfield and Lowe's, or was it Lowe's and Sinfield taking over, then Ferner and Agar. They're now looking for the sixth man in a year. I'm wondering whether the person behind all this is actually Hetherington giving up the reins to Sinfield. And in the press today, it was the headline was "Time Up for Sir Kev" in the letters page.
Ooh.
The Leeds fans are turning on him.
Doesn't take long, does it?
Surely at some point, they've had a meeting with Ferner. Ferner's sat down with him and said, look, the squad's not good enough. So clearly, Hetherington and Sinfield didn't believe him, which means they're in even more dire straits. They've just got their head in the sands, haven't they?
From what I was reading, it wasn't Ferner signing Lola here, Hurrell and Meriner. I believe they were already done deals by the club before they got Ferner on board. So Lola here looks about 2 stone overweight, doesn't he?
I'm thinking, I've said it 3 times on the podcast about this, about Hetherington and Sinfield and stuff. I'm just going to turn a little, I want to know something. If Leeds had a wobble now, would that be known as the agar jelly effect? See how I work that one in there?
He certainly, in his after-match press conference on Saturday, he certainly didn't inspire confidence. Tanya Arnold says, so... what do you think's going wrong? And he just went, good question.
I think the pair of them, are just in that situation where they need to be, so something needs to stick. I was having a look at some pan sets in John Lewis the other day, and I came across a set named The Easy Glide Never Stick 2. And I thought, isn't that a good representation for those two?
Struggling at home in the kitchen? Those rusty old pans and their crappy bottoms? Want a new range guaranteed to experience fine dining? Then order now the new Kevin Sinfield Teflon pans. With the Sinfield pan, we guarantee nothing will stick. No matter how shitty your cooking gets, the Sinfield pan will just simply wash it away. Suitable for amateurs or professional chefs, if you cannot make perfect scrambled eggs with the Sinfield pan, it's undoubtedly your fault. Nothing scratches the Sinfield pan. Hotting up in the kitchen? You won't get your fingers burnt with the Sinfield pan. Order now before midnight and your Sinfield pan range comes free with an agar egg timer. Almost accurate within 4 minutes. So throw away those old pans and order now your Sinfield Teflon pans. No shit sticks.
Okay. Well, I'm certainly going to get myself a set of those. Oh, my word. Okay, on to the Wigan review. What I saw, why I'm certainly making a bit of a dog's dinner of the game. We'll run through the team and then we'll run through the highlights of the match. The Warrington team was Ratchford, Goodwin, Atkins, King, Charlie Austin, Patton Hill, Clark, Cooper, Curry, Hughes, Davis, and the interchange bench was Murdoch, Masilla, Jason Clark, Philbin, and Aquilala. I thought I'd do the Curry for you, Dennis. After last week, we had 4 playing.
So how many have we got tonight?
I think we had 5 then.
5. We've got to get 5 curries in before the end of the podcast. Come on, keep going.
Right, 7th minute. Warrington makes space down their left side and brilliantly quick hands from Ratchford creates space for Bryson Goodwin to score in the corner. Ratchford slots the conversion over from the touchline. Sam, up to that point, I thought it was pretty good. We didn't seem to be on the back foot at all. We seemed to be going forward. We had most of the territory. And then a lovely try in the corner.
Yeah, it was a lovely try, wasn't it? Exactly as you described it. Quick hands, the space was created all along the line, everyone coming in. We looked on it, didn't we? We looked right bang on it at that point.
It looked like a coached try. We've seen that before with that Ratchford sort of comes in, goes around the back and flicks it on. But at that point, I just thought, oh, we're going to absolutely run up a cricket score. We had no problem whatsoever just making the room and scoring in the corner. And then... things started to change a little bit. On the 12th minute, Sargentson scores after picking up a loose ball in his own half. Childs goes to Robert Hicks, the video ref. Hicks takes a few looks at it and decides no try, believing Luluai has knocked on during the huge hit on Austin. All right, Dennis, was it a try or was it not a try?
I was listening to the two coaches earlier on and heard Price saying like, oh yeah, it was definitely wasn't a try. And then Adrian Lang came on and he was like, can't believe it. Don't understand why it wasn't a try. I think it's one of them things where we analyse the rules too much and argue the toss about, you know, whether it was technically a try or whether actually it was a good tackle and, you know, they deserve to get a try out of it. My take on it, I reckon we should go for the latter and we should say, actually, it was a try.
Okay. I've not got a problem with it. If I mean, it clearly he did get his hand on it as it went to ground. They both sort of came along and it collided.
His forearm, yeah.
And if you're going to give it every time through the entire season, be consistently, you know, say that is not a try, then I'm fine with it. But the thing is, they're not going to, are they? We're going to have games where there's no video refs. And then when there's no video ref, that is a try all day long.
I'm going to sort this out, actually. On next week's Tackle Bags, I'm going to sort this out. So just, you know, hang loose until I come up with that
Are you planning ahead now, Dennis? This is because you've been to the snooker, isn't it? You've been watching the snooker players. And
are we thinking one or two shots ahead?
Yes, that's it. Yes. Just making a note of it.
I played snooker with a bloke at Pontins once in Jersey. And he took that much time around the table. I said, what are you doing? He said, I always think 12 shots ahead.
And then he promptly missed the red.
Was he really pissed? Was he really pissed?
I don't know. His name was Brian Bullshitter. He worked on the dishwasher downstairs in the kitchen. But, I think Steve Davis used to, I think he was the most, wasn't he? He used to plot 4 ahead. So, right. But bloke I met, 12 ahead. Sam? Try, no try, what are you giving? Come on, you're Robert Hicks for a second.
I'm giving no try on just two looks. As soon as you saw it from behind and it hit his forearm. But again, you've got to be consistent at that, haven't you?
Well, we should also point out this week, there's been news in the press. There was a tweet from Robert Hicks to say that he was he was furious at Nando's because Nando's had charged his credit card 3 times. Not happy about that. I can only think that Ben Thaler was with him, because looking at the size of Ben Thaler now in the match between Leeds and Bradford, he's definitely put on a little bit more, hasn't he? Have you seen how big he is now? Oh,
yeah. I think on that point, did I not text you back and say it's a good job we didn't charge you the number of times it takes you to make a decision on the video ref?
Just going back very briefly onto the Leeds game, I did think there was a bit of a Thaler effect. Leeds were in the lead, looked like they were about to run away with it. Did you see this bit? And then the Leeds winger was coming off his own line. He was just making the halfway line. And they said he played the ball off the mark.
Mm.
And he gave a penalty to Bradford, and that seemed to change the complete sway of that half. I thought, oh my goodness.
Have you got all the stats on that match, Sam? Have you got all the stats?
I have, if you want me to rustle a bit of paper.
Oh, yeah, go on, Sam. Let's have a listen. I want to know how strong the Thaler effect was in the Leeds loss.
Jesus. Well done. Well done.
Is that a bit of a map? Effect?
It's good work.
I can't even read it. It's that dark now.
Well, yeah, all right. We'll leave it there.
Yeah.
When they rebuff them,
rebuffing. You're in the buff.
Rebuff.
We're not fluffy
yet. The lineup at Sky. I don't think Sam's getting in with his stats.
No. Bradford conceded 4 penalties. Leeds conceded 8.
There you go. Double again. The Thaler effect. Okay, let's move on in the Warrington match. Well, in the 24th minute, we were all square because Wigan scoot across field. Not really much on at the end. They got a bit lucky, didn't they? They kicked that ball back across field. And then Toby King did a huge air swipe when he could have easily got the ball dead. And we were 6-6. And then on the 28th minute, after another video ref call, Hughes is awarded a try as he manages to spin in the tackle and get the ball down. Ratchford again successful, and we're 12-6. But Wigan aren't to be done. Again, they come back. Luluai forces his way over on Wires, left edge. Hardacre converts, and it's 12-12. Did you think at that point, Sam, look, we're still in control of this game. We've just got to sort of get a couple of tries and we'll be away?
I was getting frustrated at this point. A bit like the Warrington team, I was getting a bit frustrated at our lack of composure coming off our own line. Wigan are not that good a team in terms of, they're a pale shadow of the teams in the past, but what they have got, desire and effort when it comes to tackling and defence. And we were getting very frustrated. We'd made a few errors in our own half and we were inviting them into the game. I was getting very annoyed. Might have been a bit of swearing as well.
Really?
Do you? They're just, again, exactly the same as last time we played them. They're dirty, but they're in your face the whole time, really trying to ruffle you. Well, I was pleased thought we had a bit more weight on the bench than when we played them last time.
Yes, that did make a difference when they came on. But when O'Loughlin came on around about 20 minutes, his first run, he lifted his elbow into the face of Philbin, I think it was. And then we got tackled for retaliation of a high shot next tackle.
He's hardly ever on the field, is he, O'Loughlin, these days? Mm. Like, at some point, you've got to say, is it really worth having him in the team? I mean, the amount of minutes he does.
Maybe he's the glue that's currently holding them together.
Well, Dennis did mention gelatine before. Possibly that's it.
Jelly.
That's what they did try and buy him at Leeds, didn't they, not that long ago? Would have made a difference, maybe. Okay, right, leading into half-time, and big Ben Murdoch-Masilla comes on. He bursts down the middle of the pitch, quick play of the ball, and Clark from about, just over the halfway line, scoots from dummy half, goes around Hardacre, and Ratchford then converts to make it 18-12 at half-time. Dennis, do you think we were on the way then? I mean, I know you didn't see it in live time. You were doing a bit of a likely lads and avoiding the result. Was it waterlogged pitch, or did you think we were going to win?
Well, you know what? I think once you've had a couple of drinks, you get quite relaxed. Unlike you, Sam, I was actually quite relaxed and I was watching it. And then I thought, oh, yeah, we're always in control of this for most of that first half. But I said in the days running up to this match that they weren't going to be a pushover in this game. I think they were really bigging themselves up before the match and stuff. And I think, they made a really good fist of it. I think they controlled the ruck quite well. And I think that sort of made a bit of a difference. It just made it all frustrating. But there was a hell of a lot of errors. It was like stop, start, video refs, errors. It was like another one of them games like we were talking about last week.
Mm. Yeah, it was just error-riddled game,
I think,
wasn't it?
That, you know what it is? It comes down to momentum. And I did some bit of research on momentum. And I had a look at this. See if you can identify where this comes from. Momentum is a people-powered, vibrant movement we aim to transform. I think I've given it away. Our proposition, if more of us come together, we can use our skills, energy, tackle every challenge head-on.
We suddenly become question time.
Yeah, it's like the momentum group. But then I thought, well, actually, that's like a mantra that could have been stolen from rugby league, couldn't it, really? Yeah. So... a little fat there. That's from the Momentum campaign, just for the Labour Party. So we now have to create balance in the podcast, and we'll be relying on you two south of the River Tory bullocks to go and...
I can make a comment.
Okay.
Yeah, Boris Johnson's a tit.
Hey, there you go. That's balance.
Momentum doesn't exist. It's a complete fallacy. There's nothing... Yeah, there's no physics behind momentum.
You've had a lecture off your dad again, have you?
It's absolute utter bollocks. If you've got momentum, you've got energy for life. It's like when a commentator says, and he hit the, playing cricket, and as the ball went across the field, it accelerated towards the boundary. It doesn't. It slows down the minute it leaves the ball,
bat. What happens if it goes downhill?
Well, if it goes downhill, then you've got gravity.
It picks up momentum.
That's not momentum. The other one is always when someone's putting at a hole and they go, oh, it came out quicker than it went in. Well, if that was the case, all you need to do is line up a million golf holes, set the ball off, and it gains as it spins off every hole, and you'd have this incredible energy.
Yeah, that's friction in between, so it
slows down all the time. So momentum's bollocks.
Have a word with your dad. That's another
one. Can we invite Brian Cox on? Let's invite Brian Cox on next week.
If you're leading 6-0 and you're going to kick off again, there's no physical force that's making you now a better team. It's exactly the same.
It's not. It's momentum. Come on, you've got a bit of momentum. Get to the second half.
Fucking hell. Right, second half, 42nd minute. Wigan are awarded a penalty. And surprisingly, they decide to take a kick at goal. What did you make of that, Sam? You're 18-12 down. You've just started. You're 2 minutes into the...
absolutely delighted they kicked it goal.
Unbelievable.
They did this against Castleford, though, didn't they? Really early on in the second half, they kicked a goal.
You could almost say they gave away all the momentum they'd built up since half-time.
That wasn't there.
Very good.
Yeah, I did think when they took that penalty, I thought, right, well, Adrian Lamb, please stay at Wigan as long as you can, because you haven't got a clue what you're doing. So I don't know what was going on there. 47th minute, Atkins powers over from the Patton stutter pass. Yes, it's yes. There again.
Floyd.
Wonderful stuff. Sam sent me a WhatsApp message in capital letters. The stutter pass. Beautiful try. Perfectly, he spotted that Blake Austin was being watched by Sargentson, and he did create that space on the outside to score. What do you think? There's things wrong with Sargentson, you know. In it, I mean, he seems a very angry man.
I think he's just not quite
there.
Not quite there, is he? He seemed to be trying to make up for it by playing too hard. He always used to remind me of Shenton being like top of the ground runner. But somewhere along the line, maybe when he went to Australia, he's lost his way, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, he didn't really play in Australia, did he? Came over
no,
here.
No, he was soon back. Not quite. Yeah.
Just didn't quite make the grade. But he just seems irritable all the time. Gets too many penalties away. Okay, right. What happened next? Well, it's then Sargentson. He sort of, we just spoke about it. He barges over.
Really annoyingly, barges over.
He shit Sargentson. Oh, hang on. He's just scored. Sargentson powers his way over, and it's 24-20.
Can I pick that one up? I felt that was a double movement, and they seemed to just brush it off.
Totally
and it
agree.
Wasn't the only double movement of the weekend.
I think that's what I was saying about earlier on, about like where the video ref went against Wigan in the first half, but that should have actually been a double movement. I agree.
Oh, I see. I think you're wrong there, boys, because I looked at it, instantly nodded and went, momentum.
You've got a point.
Right. Okay. Well, again, 57th minute and Wigan's tails are up. Hardacre in for a try. Again, down the wire's left edge. We seem to have a problem there. We keep talking about this now, don't we? Everyone seems to be targeting that left edge.
That's an interesting point. And I'd like to touch on this in tackle bags. I never noticed that. Yeah, yeah. Go on, carry on with your question.
Well, we seem to score more tries down our left edge. I don't know if Sam's got any stats on that, but we do. He hasn't got any stats on it. He's shaking his head. He's either got no stats on it or it's not true. Not sure which one that is.
I could make something up and sound plausible, but I have no stats.
Started rocking back and to like Arthur did when he had his breakdown in EastEnders.
Next week, we'll have stats on the left defence of the Warrington Wolves.
Yes. Well, I can tell you about the left defence, but we've just praised him for his super stutter pass, so we'll not go there.
Let's move on to... Come on, we need to look at this team a bit deeper now. What is wrong with the left-hand side defence, Sam? Tell us.
Genuinely, I looked at that try and Atkins jumped out of the line. But at least so I thought... And then when I watched it back, it wasn't Atkins jumping out of the line because the second row was up with him, and so was the winger. It was a halfback. He was 2 yards further behind. And I just don't think the confident at that level, at quite the level we want them to be on that left edge, maybe because the team is changing on a weekly basis down there, but they're not quite together on that left edge.
Just a bit shitty.
A little bit shitty.
Okay.
I'd go there every time. Every time down Warrington's left edge, the way it is. Okay, well, it's 24 all, but then Hardacre misses a reasonably easy kick, kind of an average kick, and we stay at 24 all. And then on the 68th minute, Ratchford slots over a penalty to make it 26-24. And that's Ratchford 100% with his kicking, 5 out of 5. He's kicking well this year, Sammy. Stats must be still up there at sort of not far off 80%, are they?
They're over 80%. A couple of weeks ago, he was still at 81%. I've not done the last 2 weeks' stats. I'll have them for you next week.
He's
couldn't be arsed.
It's terrible.
He's a leading goal kicker and leading point scorer in the competition at the minute.
Well, he made the difference. We're now 26-24 up. And then for the last 10 minutes, well, all kind of things went on, didn't they? Yes. We had knock-ons. We had Blake Austin kicking the ball out from his own sticks and them knocking it on at the play of the ball. It was all happening. I think Philbin dropped a ball. Charnley dropped a bomb. But somehow, hook or by crook, we got over the line. Final score, Wire 26, the Platers 24. Dennis, sum it up. How do you think we went?
Well, I've said it all along, I think. I think these close games are where we used to lose them by 2 points. And nowadays, we're winning them by 2 points. So if you think about the momentum has actually changed somewhat into us winning those tight games. You know, and when you look at man of the match, well, I just, you know, I know you probably both comment on this in a minute, but I just don't think you look beyond Clark. If in doubt, pick Clark.
Yeah, it was a bit like that. I have to give it to Ratchford just on his goal kicking. You know, he won us the game. I'll go back to the what I've said before, goal kicking wins you matches. And he's banged five over and Hardacre's missed a couple and lost them the game.
Well, I thought there was a couple of things that changed it for us in that second half. One, you've already mentioned, Rob, was the bench. Sitalecki came off the bench and put a good shift in, taking us forward.
He did a good solid 4 minutes.
Yes, no, I think it was six and a half. We had Charlie and Goodwin, apart from his dropped bomb, Charlie and Goodwin brought the ball away from our line in that second half, giving us space, which he weren't in first. And then for man of the match, it's a toss-up. Clark is outstanding at the minute. But Ratchford, 5 out of 5, and set 2 tries up, possibly just edged to him.
I think this is a good match from a psychological point of view as well, because you know I always like a bit of psychology. But when you think about the...
He's down there in Glastonbury. We're doing momentum, psychology. Yeah. It's all wishy-washy shit isn't it?
No, really, you know, that's the first time where I thought, like, you know, they could have easily gone behind. Wigan had momentum and, you know, quite liberally throwing the ball around, see what I did there. Got another thing in. And basically, you know, I think when you know, that's going to stand quite well as we go through the rest of the season in close matches. Mm-hmm. I think they can draw on that as a positive experience. Excellent job.
What did you think of Davis at 13, Sam? I thought, I still reckon he's not big enough to you know, ever be a brilliant player, but he works hard.
Yeah, said that to my mate when he got blood all over his face and came back. He's like a little terrier,
what
isn't he?
To you, mate?
He's not quite big enough, but he's full of energy and he gives a bit of zip and a bit of life to it.
What about
the player? Talking about your mate.
Yeah.
Right. Who else should I mention? Also, what about Austin? Didn't quite click, did he? He had a couple of times where he just got his sort of ankle tapped. He wasn't far off.
Do you think he got winded?
I did think, though, as Davis said, I think Wigan had one eye on Austin and it created a bit of space for everyone else.
Possibly.
And we've not had a player in the team that could sort of create that aura since John Thursfield.
Aura. Interesting.
Dear. Right. Okay. Let's move on to predictions. Sam went for 32-10. Dennis went for 36-12. I went 26-18. Boom. Dear.
But you didn't get the right score.
Looking at the rules, it's double points for Challenge Cup week. So that puts me out in front. Now, there's a dear old lady who's been missing from the podcast for a few weeks, as it seems she's had her work cut out training young James. Dennis finally managed to catch up with our psychic sweetheart to see how she's been getting on. It's over to Madam Boyd.
Hello, this is you on the control tower. Do you want number 77? Madam Boyd speaking.
Ah, Madam Boyd, been a while. Dennis Waywell.
Yes, Dennis, I knew it would be you.
Ooh, did you feel my vibrations?
No, Dennis, it was in the email that you sent.
Well, missed you the last few weeks, Madam Boyd. Any predictions for us this week?
James, come on, dear, come on.
How's James getting on? He's been there a while now. Is he any improvement?
He's getting there, aren't you, James?
Fetch my balls, dear. A bit of afters, James. We're getting better. Let me see. I can't see clearly. James, just lick my balls, please. That's right. They're good. I see bright lights. Smoke. The big smoke. An award is due.
Oh, is it? This is it? Is it a trophy?
I'm sorry, Dennis. It seems that James has drooled all over my balls.
Oh, bloody hell. I was hoping we'd get her, like, you know, we won the cup or the league or something.
Come on, James. Come on. That's right. Follow Tony's set.
If you wish to leave a record of your call, please state your message at the sound of the tone.
Right. So, I mean, I've been polishing my trophy about half an hour ago. Do we think there's another one on the way to the cabinet?
Yeah, that's interesting. I've got, well, is it a trip to London trophy? Is it Man of Steel awards? You know,
God, you're a genius, Dennis, how you've worked out what trophies it could be.
Is it silverware? Is it just smoke blowing over from Widnes? Who knows? That's,
Put it in a locker cup.
Locker cup.
Yeah, that still exists.
She did actually say a few other things. Atkins becoming a hairdresser to Lowe's. He's popping back up somewhere soon. And Tony still absent without leave. So we need to look into where he is at the moment.
Any sign of Ferner on the burner down there now in the chip shop?
Not at the moment. He's not made his way down by all accounts. But I think she has got a vacancy.
He'll appear for sure. Right, okay, let's move on to the Challenge Cup results and look at the draw for the next round. The results were Hull KR won away at Salford, 32-18. Salford can't be happy with that, having beaten Warrington a few weeks ago at the Halliwell Jones. Halifax, they won easily at Dewsbury, 34-6. We've talked about Bradford Leeds, 24-22 to Bradford. Hull take down Castleford, 28-12. Sam, Castleford seemed to be on the decline a little bit.
They seem shot, don't they? I didn't actually watch the match on Friday. I didn't watch that one. But just looking at the team they're putting out, they need some bodies back, Castleford, big time, don't they?
Yeah, they're not playing well, which probably means that Hull weren't that good. Hull KR winning at Salford.
That was amazing. Salford, early in the second half, Salford were 10 points up. I think it was 16-6. It might even have been 18-6, might even have been 12 points up. And Hull KR came back to just running try after try.
And they got some momentum, didn't they?
They must have had a lot of momentum there.
Huddersfield 16, St Helens 22. Catalans actually thumped Doncaster on their big day out, 62-6. And Wakefield, after a little bit of scare against Widnes, won 26-6. So looking at the draw for the next round, we've got St Helens versus Wakefield, Bradford versus Halifax, Hull KR Warrington and Hull Catalans. Dennis, we probably wanted to avoid Saints and Catalans away. So the draw in the end, we've got to be happy with that, have we?
No. I put I prefer to have St Helens away. Well, the reason for this is I probably couldn't afford to go to Wembley again. But then, what I thought is started planning my weekend and having a look what else is going on. And there's a very special event happening around here on that weekend. It's Tantra Love Festival UK in Glastonbury. And I'd suggest for any people interested in that sort of thing, look it up. This is what you can expect on the day, straight off the website. A wide array of amazing Tantra workshops, ecstatic rituals and experiences, mind-blowing meditations, Tantric yoga and related disciplines, inspiring international teachers, up to 130 very special men to connect and play with.
Is Sting going to sing to you while you do it?
Lots of love, lots of touches, cuddles, and tantric massage. Tasty homemade vegetarian food. I doubt it.
Tasty.
Now, is tantra sort of what, slow? You take your time. Is that sort of what it refers to?
Well, actually, just obviously you're not in the know. It's a homosexual event, so it's men only, I think. So yeah, I think. Do I need to read some of these again?
I think we're done there, Dennis. But okay. Tantra itself sort of means slow, doesn't it? Laborious. Isn't that the way we go about things? So from now on, I shall refer to the Warrington left-hand edge as the Tantra defence.
I could go on.
And it's all male. It's
no,
all
don't.
Male. No, don't go on, Dennis. No, we've had enough. We've had enough. Right. Sam, I'll ask you the same question, mate. You happy with the draw?
More or less. I'd have preferred it at home. Hull KR, as we've just seen, every now and again can do something to shock. But, yeah, we didn't want St. Helens away. We didn't want Catalan Dragons away. So,
yeah, okay. All right. So there's a fair chance that if we win that game, looking at the draw, there's going to be a very easy semi-final. We've got Bradford and Halifax drawn together. You might have to book your tickets, Dennis. You could be on your way.
I know. I'd be glad to go.
Right, let's move on to podcast fan of the week. We'll look at the poll first of all. The
is
question
it poll
this week.
Or poll?
Yeah.
I mean, is that your accent kicking in again?
Probably. Poll. One of the two. Okay, right. The question this week was, it was a simple question. Is it appropriate to play Wigan? Well, it did half ruffle some feathers at the Wigan community. My word, we got some abuse. The options were A, yes, it's utterly yes to utterly humiliate the Pieters. B was no pathetic teams like Wigan should be made to enter the Challenge Cup in an earlier round. C was absolutely to encourage deprived, uneducated, inbred communities like Wigan. And D was all of the above. D had a landslide victory with 56%. As I said, a lot of abuse on Twitter from the Wigan fans, but I thought Andrew Lowe, a Wire fan, summed it up perfectly when he tweeted back, "Imagine getting so upset about a piss-take poll on Twitter." There we go. Good on you, Andrew.
Yes, well done.
Absolutely perfect. No podcast fan of the week this week due to the fact that I've just been inundated with letters, emails, tweets, direct messages, all about Rob London's Between My Sticks section last week.
You know that this is my usual fan base that's you're stealing here.
I'm not sure about that. I'll read out the top four. What I've tried to do here is take one from each medium. So we'll start with Facebook. Debbie the Nurse wrote on Facebook, "Love Rob London's Between My Sticks. I wouldn't mind Rob Between My Sticks any day." That's quite nice.
Is that a nursing term, I presume?
A chap on Twitter by the name of Teddy Waring, he wrote, "I only ever listen to the podcast for Sam's stats, but with Rob London, simply the best insight. Please, 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 can we have some more?" It's nice, isn't it?
So, yeah.
Shout out to Teddy there. Good on you, Teddy. Keep it up. This was just a very quick one. It was an email. It was from Tsushima Toshiba. Just the one word, fistinating. I think he means fascinating, although he did put a question mark after it, so it's probably a proposition. I'm not quite sure on that one. And the final one, direct message, came from hashtag don't leave the Chucky in the lathe. He wrote, "For crying out loud, please bring back Dennis's tackle bags.
Good lad.
At least you know what you're going to get from that daft cunt." So
yeah,
there you
that's
go.
Fine. That's all, fine. I'll take that. Is it? He can be podcast fan of the week for that. Good lad.
We might need a klaxon there. Okay, right. Moving on. Now, as you've just heard, and also the analytics have shown that listeners' figures hit an all-time high during my section Between My Sticks. The National Grid hasn't seen such a surge since the 1977 Morecambe and Wise Christmas special, Torvald Dean's Bolero, or the EastEnders episode where Den announced he was leaving Angie. But rest assured, the National Grid doesn't have to stress out this week, as powered by no more than a steamy shit, it's back over to Dennis's Tackle Bags.
Tackle Bags.
Thanks for that. Such a wonderful introduction. Probably one of your best there. And I'll obviously have my fans back now and get back to normality. Right. Last time on Tackle Bags, we discussed player penalties, if you remember, whereby the team dish out a forfeit penalty to the player who probably played the worst or made the biggest mistake in the game, i.e. we had Austin down to wear steel toe cap boots for a week. Lynham, who of course will be interviewed soon, has to train with bacon rashes in his shorts as a punishment. So we could probably ask him that as a question, actually, when we come to interview him. Of course, I had a superb response. 76% said yes. Mr. Burns, and this is ironic, says, good idea. Last year, I would have shoved a heater up Tyrone Roberts' arse. So he's obviously thinking of a good punishment there. No, 22%. Bill B, we shouldn't advocate horseplay in the workplace. And in any case, horseplay wouldn't be fair to Ratchford. I don't know what he means by that, but make your own.
Well, I think it comes from Sam's comment about his nose a few weeks ago that came very left field during the Gareth Walker Daily Mirror interview.
Yeah, it could be. Is he back facing the right way now, Ratchford, after the weekend's performance? You turned him round when he had a bad game. Have I lost you, Sam?
Look at him. Sam's got a look on his... He's got no idea what you're talking about.
It's all passing all right, by Sam. When you start to Twitter on.
Pull the cord. Look for the warden. It's all right.
Anyway, we had another response, 2%. This was off Toss Charity. You're talking out of your tackle bags. I think he means bollocks. Anyway, right, this week, we're looking left. So this week, I want to look at some of the finite elements and the details of the game, those small percentages that make up a difference in a close match, the nuances of giving a team that competitive edge. So I've looked at an area that's definitely being overlooked. No other team is looking left. So I've identified that the Warrington Wolves should look at the dexterity of their players, and it should in part look at the player and the team structure going forward with this in mind. We should have a number of players in our team who are left-handed and left-footed to improve our game in a couple of areas. So I was looking at...
Can I just 1 second here? Sam, yeah. Is this the biggest bollocks he's come up with so far?
No, this.
I'm waiting for the science. The science behind it is probably that left-handers have more momentum.
Oh, here we go.
More creative.
If you notice, we did talk about momentum, which is normally associated to the left as well earlier in the podcast. You see how well this podcast is put together. Anyway, the first one to look at is kicking, of course. When you consider where the kick's taken from, if it's taken from your favourite foot, where it's like you're curling it into the post, there's usually a 44% success from that favoured side. Whereas if you take it from the other side, it's a 39% success rate. Now, wouldn't it make sense that you have extra kicker in your side that is left-footed to maximise the percentage when kicking goals?
Well, not really, no.
Hang on, don't disagree.
You just said a 44% success rate from your favoured foot. Ratchford's kicking it over 80 at the minute, so we don't want either of those stats that you want.
I'm just looking at the small nuances here. I think you'll find that that would, in fact, give you a little competitive advantage. But I took this one stage further and went even deeper. I actually got the video recorder and slowed it down.
Video record. What is it, Betamax?
Yeah. No, it's not. Betamax wasn't as good for slowing things down. But I went down further, and I noticed this in an NRL game. I think also there should be a percentage of players who are left-handed. Because when the ball carrier is usually carrying the ball in his right hand, and you want to have the strength in defence to hold that ball carrying arm and control the ruck speed. And if you've got a stronger left-handed player, he could probably stop and hold a right-handed ball carrier more. So the percentages of that would actually increase your sort of defence from, like, you know, the ball being offloaded and everything. So that's my second left-handed insightful suggestion that I think the Warrington Wolves should consider. Should they by a player in the future, and also when they look at their team structure in a squad. Moving on from that, just other thing as well. Left-handed Jesus, people were discriminated against in the 18th, 19th century, and it was beaten out of them. Most people with left-handed syndrome suffer from like scissors, measuring tape, ring binders, can openers.
I suffer from all these.
You can associate with this, can't you, Rob?
Well, I am because I'm left-handed, but it's never affected me all that time. They made me right my right hand.
Did you know in polo you can only play it with left-handed? You can't play hockey as well. And field hockey.
You can only play hockey right-handed. It's a bit like that. Yeah. Hence why I play golf, because I play golf right-handed due to the fact that Walton Gardens only had right-handed clubs.
Yeah. I always felt that when I took a drive, it always went off to the left. A big curve and landed in the car park.
Dennis, I don't want to piss on your fireworks here, but the NRL every week actually gives stats on which way the players pass the ball, left or right, and how biased they are one way or the other.
Well,
I should probably point that out at this stage.
No, I don't think that happens. But I was going to suggest that Sam looks into the left defence and takes that fact into consideration. And the other thing I was thinking as well is should that not be a patent for a lefty pass or a lefty tackle or something?
That's a good idea. Well, Dennis, was it 44% in comparison to 33%?
34,
so that's 5% difference.
It's a 13% improvement kicking from the touchline with your preferred foot.
Sam, if you wouldn't go going through the back catalogue of Warrington games, let's date it back to about 1979 and see how many games would have won with an extra 13% points difference.
Do you mind if I start at 1990? I've not got that long this week.
No, 1970. We can pick it up again next year.
Okay.
Are you done, Dennis?
Yes, if you think that's a great idea for Rob to write to Carl Fitzpatrick and suggest that this should be part of the...
Is he on Starship Enterprise?
Yeah, and maybe order a curry at the same time, then write to us at whatbevin at gmail.com, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. What were the others?
I think you've done them all, hashtag
Dennis. Yeah, why not? I don't know if there is one. Probably is. I'm on there.
Right, now come on, let's bring it back round. I'm looking forward to this section. A few weeks ago, I tried to explain the format, the playoff format, with my dithery, half-hearted attempt. With us looking more and more likely to finish the regular season in second position now, what's Warrington's journey to the final looking like, Sam? And can you explain these playoffs to me, please?
I can explain them very easily. It's better with a diagram. And if you go to the Super League website, you used to click on the structure, but you click on it now and it says page not found. So it looks like Super League are trying to hide that. So top five playoff. So you're ready. Week one. The team that finishes first gets a rest.
I thought you were going to say arrested.
Gets a rest. So second place plays third place and fourth place plays fifth place.
Okay, I've got that so far. Yeah. Okay.
Always through this, whichever team finished higher is always at home. Okay.
Oh.
So fourth place plays fifth place. The loser goes out.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye. Thank you. Good night.
Correct. The winner of that game plays the loser of the second and third place game.
Right. Is this the top eight or the top six?
Five.
It's the top five, Dennis. Jesus. Okay.
So in week two, you've got the loser of the second, third against the winner of fourth, fifth, and first place team plays the winner of that second and third game. And the winner of that match goes straight into the final. So you could be first, get a week off, win your game at home, and then go straight into the final.
I'll come back to that then in a sec.
Is it something like that then? Can you see that?
Dennis is holding.
Yeah, it's not quite as phallic as that.
We won't tell you what Dennis has just held up, but he's had his section and now he's ruining Sam's disgraceful behaviour, Dennis.
So the final week, the elimination final is the loser of that first place and second place match plays the winner of the bottom game again. So potentially, whoever finishes first plays once, gets in the final fresh, whereas the other teams could have played four games to get there.
So even second can play four games to get there.
Even second place could play four games. Yeah,
four games. Play.
So does second place get a second bite at the cherry if they lose?
Yes. Yes.
Right, and then you come back into, and if you win, you get a week off.
Yes.
If second place wins,
so if second place plays third place, and let's assume second place beats third place. So the team that wins that, the second place team, then goes and plays away at the first place team, with the first place team having had a week off.
Yeah. Right.
The winner of that game goes straight to the final.
So we could actually play two games and be straight in the final.
We could.
Well, so there's a chance. We might finish first, yeah?
Yeah, no chance
of
that.
But we're a bit...
I'm using an Australian expression. We've got Buckley's chance of that. So it might actually fall our way because St. Helens will get a week off. We might just catch them cold in the final. Possibly this is a good format for us.
Yes, it could do. It could do. But either way, I'm still looking. I'm looking here that Saints and Warrington are meeting in that final.
Right.
But they could play twice in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So it looks like we're playing Castleford possibly. Oh, Castleford are on the slide, aren't they, at the
They're
moment?
They're on the slide. You could throw a blanket over them teams.
Well, talking about Castleford, Lee Breers, he tweeted a picture after the game of the five Warrington Wolves Academy players that are now playing in Wyre's first team. But are they more than just rugby league players? Surely there's a young boy band in the making.
They're the boy band everyone's been talking about. Yes, coming together, not from the back streets of Hamburg, but through the Warrington Wolves Academy. Introducing five young men set to take the world by storm, but mainly Cheshire. Harvey Levett, Joe Philbin, Toby King, Declan Patton, and their mascot Jack Johnson. It's the new boy band sensation called Mediocre, with Jack Johnson on vocals singing, "I may be small, but I love you." Levett, front of stage with, "I'm a long-haired ginger from Woolston." Philbin with that timeless classic, "My old man's a dustman." And Patton's seasonal sing-along, "All I want for Christmas is a running game." But not forgetting Heartthrob, Toby King writes and performs. If only I could drop these talentless fuckwits and start a solo career. Yes, it's the boy band, Mediocre. Download or hear them live at the Halliwell Jones, or in years to come, playing at the likes of Hull KR, Rochdale, or possibly Halifax. Mediocre, out now.
Okay, it's time for the photo shoot, boys.
We can't see Jack.
Can someone fetch Jack a stepladder, please?
So, will you be getting tickets at the O2 for Mediocre, Dennis?
No.
When will it be available to download on Spotify? I can see these challenging Ed Sheeran.
We'll put up a link. Okay.
Just remind me. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, mate.
Well, who's in the team? In the Mediocre band?
Well, we've got Levett. We've got Philbin, Toby King, Jack Johnson, and Declan Patton. It's a good five.
Okay.
It's a good five. Okay. Sam perfectly explaining the playoff format. It's over to Callum to see who Callum's predicting who will make that top five.
With the most unpredictable season we've had in a long time, I'd say, with the amount of signings different teams have made, it's really, really hard to predict the top five this season. But apart from Saints and Warrington being my top two choice, Warrington second falling short of Saints. I'd say third place, I would go with Castleford, just because I think the fact they've been there before in the playoffs, I think they'll get a few troops back, and I think they'll be back up there in a suitable enough playoff position. Fourth place, I really, really like this club. I think they've come a long, long way from finishing in the £1 million game season after season. I think it's going to be Wakefield. I've tipped them to be fourth. With the amount of comebacks they're making, they're falling short of a few results, but I think they're going to keep on getting better each week, and with the star players they have to come back and in their team already, I think they will certainly be up there. Now, there's three teams who have a shout of fifth, in my opinion. Wigan, Hull FC and Catalan Dragons. But I do think Wigan will get into that top five. Whether they go on to get to the grand final is a different story, but I do tip them to get that fifth place above the likes of Hull FC, Salford and the Catalan Dragons. Saints first, Warrington second, Castleford third, Wakefield fourth, Wigan fifth. That's my prediction for the Super League top five. I'll see you.
So I think we're all in agreement, are we? That top five now is what? There's three or four possibly nailed on, or you don't think we've only got two nailed on at the moment, Sam?
I think there's only two nailed on. Everyone else seems to be injured back in two. Salford have a good week and a bad week. Hull have a good week and a bad week. Castleford are struggling for bodies. Wigan look strong, possibly, if they can get it together. And Wakefield.
Yeah, I think they might sneak in.
Yeah, Wakefield, we thought were looking brilliant in the first 6 weeks. They've lost three or four key players, and even they're struggling, aren't they? It really could be, could be anyone.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Leeds are shot, though, aren't they? They've gone. They've got to make it in, even if
surely not. Surely no chance.
Even if they get some momentum, Dennis, they're not going to make it.
No,
sorry. Where have you been? Where have you been there, Dennis? You've been rearranging your dream catcher or something? What have you been doing?
Yeah. Well, I was going to get the executioner out. Actually, the flies have started again.
Okay, right. Well, let's have a look at Warrington's next game. It's a lovely home fixture against Hull FC. Sam, we talked about Hull being up on a high. They were into third place a few weeks ago with a negative goal difference. Should we be worried? Or do you think we'll easily win this one?
No, I fancy us to win this. They did get Kelly and Sneed back for that game against Castleford. So they'll probably be a bit stronger than when we put 60 on them. And they'll be very motivated, I would expect, to put that right. But if we get two scores up, I can only see us cruising away. It's just getting them two scores up to begin with.
You talked about them putting it right. I think they need to go. Oh, no, they do need to go right, because it's our tantrum left edge that we need to worry about. So
yeah.
That works perfectly. Dennis,
left, sort of pay attention to a left-handed player in that section. I want to know who's left-handed in the Warrington Wolves. Can we ask Tom Lynham that as well?
Sure, we'll ask Tom Lynham. We'll see if he knows the answer to that.
Will Tom know?
I don't know. He can make a list for us. He could just do a quick survey of the room and we can ask him to report back on Twitter or something. That'd be good. But you know what? I think you pair underestimate everybody at the moment. I think you get off on your little we're going to walk away with it and this, that, and the other. I think a couple of teams are going to bite back at the end of this season. I think you've got to be prepared to drop into third. You heard it here first. Coming into the season.
All right, the one that worries me is Wakefield. I think Wakefield have got it in them to win a big game against either St Helens or Warrington in the playoffs. The style of play that they, the way they throw the ball around. Okay, let's have your predictions, boys. What are we going for?
I'm going to go 28, because I think Ratchford will miss his first kick in a while. 28-16.
Oh, well, I'm going to go, I think, looking at the afternoon. This is an afternoon fixture on Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah, next Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, it's a Timothy Taylor special. I think I'll be Warrington 24, Hull 12.
Ooh, okay. Well, with me leading the comp now after I perfectly predicted the Challenge Cup result, I'll go 32-18. Wait and see how it goes. Okay, that's it. Next week on the podcast, as we've mentioned, we'll be joined by Tom Lynham. If you have a question for Tom, we'd like to hear from you. Or if you wish to put a case forward for Podcast Fan of the Week, or anything else for that matter, email to whatbevan@gmail.com. Or you can direct message on Twitter to whatbevan. So until next week, shining bright like a diamond, it's a goodbye from Sam.
All the best.
And just like a lump of old coal that possibly left buried under the Halliwell Jones for a million years would twinkle too, it's a goodbye from Dennis.
For seeing you.
My name's Rob London. I'm 6 foot two and 165 kilos. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Absolute bollocks.
I think your bollocks are about 160 kilos.
You got pubic hair on your mic.